This podcast presentation is an abridged version of the audit report, Department of Corrections, evaluating recent security incidents at the El Dorado Correctional Facility. Release date, December 15, 2017. This audit sought to answer one question. What happened during the security incidents at the El Dorado Correctional Facility on May 9th, June 24th, and June 29th, 2017? Overall, we found that these three incidents each had a different cause, and that the Department of Corrections reports of minimal injuries and property damage were consistent with the available evidence. Before getting into the details of our answer to the audit question, some quick background information on El Dorado Correctional Facility. El Dorado houses a mix of special management, maximum, medium, and minimum security inmates. This inmate population increased about 20% between fiscal years 2016 and 2017 after the Kansas Department of Corrections, KDOC, expanded the use of double bunking throughout the facility. Local and national media reported a series of inmate incidents at El Dorado on May 9th, June 24th, and June 29th, 2017. These reports stated KDOC put the facility on lockdown as inmates took control of several areas, including the gym, yard, and dining areas. The inmates were reported to have barricaded the gates to the yard, started a fire, obtained weapons, and ransacked a security office during these incidents. To better understand what happened, we reviewed media reports and interviewed officials from the Department of Corrections and the Kansas Organization of State Employees. We also reviewed radio communication logs, internal reports, and about 20 hours of surveillance footage. Now the audit findings. Finding number one. The May 9th incident appears to have been a spontaneous inmate protest of how corrections officers responded to an assault on another officer. Prior to May 9, KDOC began restricting inmates' ability to pass through the door separating the East and West gyms at El Dorado. At 6:24 p.m., an inmate who was denied access to the East gym assaulted the corrections officer manning the door. Other officers used mace to subdue and restrain this inmate. Officers closed the East yard and gym at 6:26 p.m. and had moved the inmates into the yard by 6:30 p.m. About 150 inmates from G and L cell houses refused to return to their cells, however, and KDOC pulled its officers out of the East yard and activated its Special Operations Response Team, or SORT. As the SORT officers arrived at 8:27 p.m., about 30 to 40 inmates used plastic trash carts, weight machines, and concrete benches to barricade the entrances to the yard. The other inmates simply milled around the yard, standing or sitting and talking among themselves while either watching or ignoring the incident. SORT officers entered the cell houses through alternate doors to secure the inmates who were inside during the incident. At 10:01 p.m., the inmates involved in the incident voluntarily surrendered and lined up at their cell house doors, and SORT officers secured them in their cells by 11:41. Other than the officer who had been assaulted before the incident, no officers or inmates were injured and no significant property damage was reported. Finding number two. The June 24th incident was a result of conflict between two rival gangs and failed security protocols. Two well-known street gangs, the Bloods and the Crips, maintain a presence inside many correctional facilities, including El Dorado. In the weeks before the June 24th incident, KDOC intercepted a large drug shipment coming into the facility. Members of the Crips believed a member of the Bloods was responsible and wanted to punish him for the interception. The Bloods agreed to do this themselves, however, under the Crips' supervision. At 7 p.m., 50 to 70 inmates from L Cell House passed through several unsecured cell house doors to witness the Bloods punish their gang member. However, only G Cell House inmates were allowed to be in the yard at that time. Inmates also propped open the doors to both cell houses so they could enter and exit as they pleased. At 7:18 p.m., in response to the inmates leaving L Cell House without permission, KDOC officials activated their SORT officers and locked down the East Yard. Anticipating the punishment of the Blood gang member, most inmates refused to return to their cell houses. The attack on the Blood gang member took place at 8:42 p.m. and lasted about 3 minutes. Neither participant appeared to receive significant injuries. When SWORT officers arrived at about 10:15 p.m., some inmates took about 5 brooms and mop handles from closets in the cell houses, broke them, and passed them around. Our review showed the inmates did not have access to correctional staff while they had these weapons and did not use them to threaten one another. About 15 minutes later, a few inmates lit a plastic trash cart on fire, briefly wheeled it into L's cell house, and then left it to burn in the middle of the yard. One inmate lit a broom on fire and held it up to a security camera in an attempt to disable it. As was the case on May 9th, only about 30 to 40 of the approximately 150 inmates in the yard took part in the incident. At 10:35 p.m., a couple of inmates closed the G and L cell house doors that had been propped open, trapping several inmates in hallways. SWORT officers cleared these hallways and secured the inmates in the yard by 11:34 p.m. The inmates who had obtained weapons discarded them and lined up voluntarily to be taken inside. One correctional officer was treated for smoke inhalation, but otherwise no officers or inmates were injured during the incident. 2 days later, on June 26th, officers found that an inmate had gained access to the security office in the East Gym during the incident by climbing through the ceiling of the adjacent bathroom. He damaged the ceiling and stole officers' food and drinks from the office. Finding number 3. The June 29 incident started in response to a sudden change in the inmate's shower schedule. Before the incident on June 24th, the inmate's shower schedule allowed them to shower immediately after their yard and gym time. On June 29, just after the lockdown following the June 24th incident had been lifted, the warden announced a schedule change that delayed typical shower times by several hours. To protest this change and force a discussion with facility administrators, about 120 inmates from G cell house refused to return to their cells when their yard and gym time ended at 9:15 a.m. At 10:28 a.m., inmates again accessed the East Gym security office and an adjacent activity therapist's office through the bathroom ceiling, which had still not been secured after the June 24th incident. About 20 minutes later, KDOC responded by locking down the East Yard and gym and activating SWORT officers from multiple facilities. While they had access to these offices, about 30 to 40 inmates damaged and ransacked them, stealing security equipment and officers' personal items. At noon, the inmate responsible for much of the damage to the offices used a flashlight stolen from the security office as a club to vandalize it. Ironically, because the inmates leading the protest had intended for it to remain peaceful, several of them assaulted the vandal multiple times over the next hour as punishment. None of the inmates, including the ones involved in the fighting, were significantly injured. At 3:20 p.m., inmates fled the gym as the SWORT officers arrived, and nearly all inmates had voluntarily surrendered within 5 minutes. Only 2 inmates resisted, lying on the ground so SWORT officers would have to pick them up, cuff them, and walk them to their cell house. By 5:23 p.m., all inmates had been secured in their cells. No correctional officers were injured during the incident. Finding number 4. Our review of the available evidence confirmed the department's reports of minimal injuries and property damage for all 3 incidents. KDOC officials told us they generally do not consider an injury to be significant unless it cannot be treated by their on-site medical staff and requires hospitalization. Our review confirmed the injuries received by officers and inmates during the incident matched KDOC officials' descriptions. KDOC officials also reported that the cost of the damage for all 3 security incidents was no more than a few $1,000s. Our review of the video footage found that property damage caused during the incidents appeared limited to custodial equipment, 2 offices, and 1 bathroom. This included spray painting, a broken window, and damage to wooden lockers, bathroom fixtures, ceiling tiles, and drywall. This damage appeared reasonably consistent with KDOC officials' descriptions. Finding number 5. Department officials intentionally allow inmates to maintain control within confined areas as part of their response strategy. KDOC officials told us allowing inmates to maintain control of certain secured areas within El Dorado for several hours is part of their strategy for dealing with inmate incidents. Officials reported the East Yard and gym are secure areas in which officers can contain and closely observe inmates during incidents. They told us this helps prevent unnecessary escalation, violence, and injury by giving the inmates time to calm down, grow tired of the incident, and surrender voluntarily. This is what appeared to happen during the 3 incidents we reviewed. KDOC officials emphasized, however, that inmates' actions ultimately dictate their response, and correctional officers have several options for intervening if there is an immediate threat of injury or significant property damage. We had no recommendations for the Department of Corrections, and department officials elected not to provide a written response to the audit. The full audit report contains more detailed information related to the audit findings and our audit methodology that was omitted from this podcast. This podcast was produced by the Legislative Division of Post Audit. The full report is available on our website at www.kslpa.org. For more information or for a complete printed copy of this report, please contact Legislative Post Audit at 785-296-3792. This concludes this podcast.